Back here as we wind down halftime, Monmouth 35, Niagara 32. We take a look at our first half stats, and it was a first half that saw Monmouth shoot 65% from the field, led by 9 points from Justin Robinson. Balanced scoring attack, 6 from Brady, 5 from Max DeLeo and Deion Jones, and 4 from Zach Tillman. Conversely, Tajir McCall led a Niagara team with 10 points that shot 44% from the floor. And the storyline now, Steve, is the NCAA's leading scorer, Antoine Mason, who scores 28, almost 29 a game, held to 5 points on 2 of 4 shooting in 15 minutes of play in the first half.
I think the zone really bothered him, and I love when the Hawks go 2-3 and put Max DeLeo at the top of the zone and let him try to deflect and get steals and contest shooters. And I thought the big lineup with DeLeo on the top of the zone really caused Mason some problems. Hopefully the Hawks can do a good job here in the second half, but you know, a guy like Mason, who had a tough first half, is going to try to come out and impose his will on this game. But also, Eddie, 10 turnovers from the Hawks is way too many in the first half. It really hurt them late in the first half as they had control of this game and then started giving up some turnovers and some offensive rebounds. And Niagara got themselves back into this game. And then lastly, they have to get the ball inside to the bigs. Again, they started off very strong getting the ball inside and then got away from it late. Got to get the ball inside. And again, Zach Tillman, I love his back to the basket game. He's really doing a good job of getting position and scoring. Get him the ball down low and let him do his thing.
Yeah, Steve, Monmouth really got a lot of points in that first half down low by Brady and Tillman, especially early in the half. Do you think Coach Rice goes back to that same formula? Or do we finally look for Monmouth's real scorers, Deion Jones and Andrew Nicholas and the like, to get rolling?
No, I think he's going to stick with the bigs and get the ball inside. That'll only open things up more for Jones and Nicholas, and Justin Robinson got his shot going in the first half. So dumping the ball inside will only open it up more for the guards and for the quote-unquote true scores of the Hawks. And again, the Hawks really put an onus on dropping the ball inside. They were practicing it. I think they put in a new offense, an offense that Siena ran against them. I think they put in that offense that they saw versus Siena to get the Hawks the ball, or get the Hawk bigs the ball down low.
Just about ready. And you hear the horn there. We're ready for second half action as Niagara will lead things up. They'll inbound the ball to start as they'll move right to left. And it looks as though, Steve, Mama's going to come out 1-3-1 with Chris Brady at the top of the zone.
How about that for size at the top, huh? Chris Brady playing the top of the 1-3-1.
They go down low to Thomas. Out to McCall. Kicks it out to Mason for three. And that's short. Andrew Nicholas with the rebound. That was the weirdest looking 1-3-1 I have ever seen.
And again, Mason shooting threes. He doesn't shoot them at a high percentage. He leads the NCAA in free throw made and attempted. If he's shooting threes, that's a win for your defense.
And right now, he has only gone to the line. He hasn't gone to the line. 0-0. Monmouth first possession here, leading by three, moving left to right.
You know, all the numbers point to this game being more than a three-point game.
Couldn't agree more. Andrew Nicholas bounces it to Tillman, who's fouled at the rim. Credit not only the pass, but Tillman going up. And that foul will go against Niagara's Ramon Snowden.
One of the offenses that the Hawks are running is that they're running a shooter along the baseline. And he's getting screens from each big at the block. And it's up to Red or Deion Jones to kind of weave his way in and out. And then afterwards, on the catch, the bigs are going to seal real hard to get position.
Zach Tillman makes his first free throw. Monmouth now up by four. We'll see, Steve, what, and I agree with you that this half, as Tillman goes 2 of 2, Monmouth now up 5. These two teams, they're tied for 8th. They're very similar right now, at least how they're playing in the league. This game's going to go down to the wire. Hawks now, they go from 1-3-1 to 2-3 as Niagara works it around the perimeter. Mason attacks Tillman, misses it short, and then Tillman pulls down the rebound. We've played 1 minute in the second half. Monmouth up 5. Robinson pulls things out. Fires it cross-court to Deion Jones. Back to Robinson. 22 on the shot clock. Deion Jones throws for Nicholas. He's running around screens. Nicholas, high archer, is missed. Rebound pulled down by Snowden. Long outlet pass Marvin Jordan finds a streaking McCall. Good defense by Tillman, who just blocked it and then took it away.
And Tillman stood there straight up. There was a little contact, but he gets the call.
But then has it taken away by Antoine Mason. Mason's going to go one on two, and Robinson takes it away from him. Great defense by the freshman.
And anytime Mason's got the ball in transition, you're hoping not to foul and not compound the problem by having him get a layup attempt and also foul.
Well, for some reason, he tried to get smaller than Robinson instead of being the bigger player. Robinson out to Deion Jones. Between the legs dribble at the foul line. Oh, he put it in. That's a big-time looking shot from Deion.
I'm seeing more and more players go real hard to their right hand. It's usually their right hand. And then put the ball back from behind their legs and pull up.
Another Niagara turnover as Monmouth brings it up, leading by seven. Nicholas took one away. Robinson open for three. Boom! Monmouth on top, 42-32, 2.5 gone by.
And Robinson's gotten it going offensively in this game. Again, started slow, but really got his shot going.
And Chris Casey will take a timeout. He's bringing an entire new team on the floor. We'll take the timeout with him. 17-27 to go in our second half. The Monmouth lead has exploded to 42-32 as we step out for 1 minute here on the Shore Sports Network. Fans, we want to remind you that to catch Monmouth's next home contest, which is January 19th against Canisius, call the athletic ticketing office at 732-263-5735 or emailing hawktickets@monmouth.edu. Here at the Gallagher Center, Monmouth leads Niagara Steve 42-32, 2.5 gone by in the second half.
Yeah, and Coach Casey over there on the Niagara sideline not happy with his first group, and he went to the bench. And Antoine Mason is out of this game again.
Steve, it's been a 7-0 run to begin the second half for MU. The lineup now on the floor for Niagara. I see Fowler, Harris, Myers, Ware, and Jordan. As Myers is fouled coming out of the timeout. Call that foul on Andrew Nicholas. His second. And Steve, you're right. Antoine Mason, the leading scorer in the country, finds himself on the bench with just 5 points.
And a guy, he averages 37 minutes a game, Eddie.
Right corner. Marvin Jordan throws to Fowler, top of the key. Back to Jordan for three. No good. Chris Brady pulls down the rebound. Outlet to Josh James. Josh, head up in transition. Drive and kick out to Nicholas. He'll pick up his dribble and go top of the key, and we'll get a reset as Jones will go to James. He'll throw back right wing, Deion Jones. Bullet pass down low to Tillman. Kick out to James for three. Boom! Monmouth on top, 45-32.
And credit Zach Tillman. He screened and then slipped to the basket. When he caught the ball, there was a lot of traffic. But Tillman does a good job of not forcing the ball down low. He passed the ball out to James, who was open for a three, and he knocked it down.
You said it, Steve, to begin the second half. Inside out would be the way to go. Marcus Ware shakes free down low, and a move that Monmouth fans are familiar with. That little lefty layup cuts the Hawks' lead to 11.
And a good move by Marcus there, beating the double team and just being aggressive and going to that left hand.
Josh James throws right corner, Andrew Nicholas. Bounces it to Chris Brady. This one, a running lefty hook, is missed. Wesley Myers pulls it down. Myers back the other way, goes all the way, can't get it to go. Rebound tipped away from Tillman by Ware. Marcus attacks the basket and he'll go to the line when we come back from the media timeout. 15:52 to go, Monmouth 45, Niagara 32 as we step out for 60 seconds on the Shore Sports Network. Hawks lead Niagara 45-34, 15:52 to go in our second half. Along with Steve Bazaz, I'm Eddie Acapinti, Ray Malaspina. Back in the studios, good to have the crew together again tonight, our all-MU crew, watching the Hawks and listening to the Hawks lead by 11 here on the Shore Sports Network, 1160 and 1310 a.m., shoresportsnetwork.com, as well as the free Radio Pup app. There's an update for that. You got to download. Make sure you get on that.
I'm on it.
Hawks lead Steve Niagara by 11. A few Purple Eagle free throws coming after this timeout, but Hawks looking very good here in the second half.
Yeah, it's been some good inside-outside play. Zach Tillman catching the ball down low and kicking it out to Josh James for an open three-point shot. I mean, these stats, Mom is shooting 64%. They're 5 of 8 from 3. They're 4 of 4 from the foul line. I mean, they are just stat-wise, they are dominating this game.
Marcus Ware, former Hawk, at the foul line, makes his first free throw. Marcus now has 5 points. The same total that Antoine Mason has, and he is still residing on the bench for Coach Casey.
Does not look very happy.
He does not look happy. Marcus makes both free throws, making this a 9-point game, 45-36. Niagara will now pressure Monmouth full. I was going to say before that, Mason has the look of someone who just drove 8 hours to get to the game. Cameron Fowler called for a foul on Josh James in the backcourt. The second foul on Niagara. Here's the thing, though. Mason, like, his dorm's over there.
Right.
You know, home game. He averages 28 a game.
And 37 minutes.
It's true. Khalil Brown into the game for Monmouth. Gets the ball in the high post. Kicks it out to Josh James. They go down low. Deion Jones moves on a shorter player. Can't get it to go. Rebound snatched away from O'Garo by Harris. He'll go right at Max DeLeo. Wave off the shot attempt. Offensive foul as Max DeLeo drew a really physical charge right under the rim.
That's just a great job by Max DeLeo. Standing in there, taking the charge above the restricted area. Josh James reached, and then that actually helped Max DeLeo take that charge as the offensive player was out of control.
Monmouth will break the Niagara pressure here. DeLeo gets it into the front court. Loose ball down low. Niagara back the other way after the turnover. Jordan to Harris. O'Garo blocks it, but a foul is called.
I thought O'Garo blocked that one.
Yeah, I thought he blocked it too.
But sloppy play, turning the ball over. Those are the plays that you cannot do. When you're ahead in this game, you got the nation's leading scorer on the bench. You can't give up plays and possessions like that.
Yes. This will put Rayvon Harris at the line, the redshirt sophomore from Raleigh, missing a free throw short. And I'll make the noise that your face just made after that free throw. Woefully short as Brady and Tillman check back in for O'Garo and Khalil Brown. Rayvon Harris, 6'5", wing player. Shot puts his free throw, makes the second one. So Monmouth now just leads 45-37. Niagara continuing the pressure, and there's a foul in the backcourt. Cameron Fowler giving the shoulder to Josh James.
Eddie, let's credit Coach Rice on something. You know, Garrow's been the starter all year long at the four position. You know, this game just is not his game. It's not the right matchup for him. The size of the Hawk bigs has really been the difference in this ball game. And O'Garo hasn't played as big a minutes as he usually does. And credit Coach Rice for knowing the matchups and making adjustments.
Yeah, Steve, sometimes players don't fit well in the flow of a game. And so far, at least, that's the case for Tyrone as Monmouth leads by 8. Andrew Nicholas off the bench, quicks firing a shot. He misses, gets it back, and one! Physical play down low. Nicholas missed the first one, got the second one back, and he'll be shooting a free throw to give Monmouth an 11-point lead.
You know, the Hawks have stuck with that look where the shooter will run baseline and the bigs will be on the block setting screens. The way Niagara's playing it, it's really opened things up for the Hawks down low. That time the big was stuck on top of Zach Tillman, which allowed Nicholas to run in and get his own rebound.
And he converts the three-point play, so he puts Monmouth back on top by 11. It'll allow the Hawks to drop back into the zone with a big lineup in the game. 14-40 and ticking to go. Fowler dribbles himself to the wing. Myers drives, kicks it out to Fowler. He'll get beyond DeLeo. He'll take contact from Tillman. That'll be a foul as Fowler should get two free throws.
And Coach Rice calling Zach Tillman, just stand there and put your hands up. And that's what he's got to do. You know, it's as simple as that. Step up strong with your hands in the air, straight up. You can't go up with one hand because it looks like a weak attempt, and you can't swat at anything.
Fowler misses his first free throw. And ironically, this Niagara team is a pretty good free throw shooting team at about 70% as a team. Fowler, however, just 4 of 11. The reason, Steve, they're such a good foul shooting team, Antoine Mason, as Fowler missed them both and Max DeLeo pulls down the rebound, Mason is 140 of 186. The team has attempted 477 free throws. So there you go.
Yeah.
He shoots almost half. Hawks lead by 11 with the ball. And DeLeo is fouled by Wesley Myers out front. That's the fifth foul on Niagara.
A lot of fouls in this half.
Yeah, more than we saw in the first half. I'm sorry, it's Niagara's sixth team foul. Ironically enough, the game has come to a bit of a halt.
Niagara trying to pick up the pressure a little bit as they're down 11, getting called for some fouls outside.
Josh James fires left corner. Andrew Nicholas bobbled it, then got it back. It works its way over to DeLeo, top of the key. Tried to bounce it to Brady. Loose ball down low. Bodies go crashing down. And Niagara will be awarded a timeout, as Monmouth did have the possession arrow. Coach Rice showing DeLeo, here's how you make the wraparound bounce pass.
But what I think is that the big got caught on the outside of Brady, so Brady's got to hold his seal, and Max has to throw a lob pass, a little high-low type pass there. Brady's 6'11". It's better for him to catch a pass sometimes if he's got his player sealed, got his defender sealed. Go up and get it. Throw it up high to him.
14:03 to go in our second half. Monmouth leading Niagara 48-37. Steve, Monmouth's lead at halftime 35-32. They've pushed that lead to 11. How have they been able to do that?
They've gotten some good looks on the inside, and also they've shot the ball well. Justin Robinson knocked down a three. Josh James knocked down a three, and they're getting to the basket. I think they're playing a good second half here, Eddie. It's kind of really the story of the game right now, though, and not to really harp on it, but he is the leading scorer in the country. He scores almost 30 points per game. This is the story of the game right now. Mason's on the bench. He averages 37 minutes a game. He's not going to come even close to that. And the way it's going, he's not going to come close to his 28 point per game average either.
Monmouth here takes one away from Niagara, and then the Hawks and Purple Eagles battle, and Josh James's hustle will earn it back for Monmouth. So the Hawks will get it back with 13:47 to go. And to close Steve's point, as Deion Jones and Justin Robinson check in for Monmouth, the aforementioned Mason checks in for Niagara. Now, Steve, let's see how he reacts. He's got 5 points. His team's down 11. A huge game here. The team you're tied with, you're playing, and you're down 11 at home. Let's see how that makes him respond.
And Niagara, the only way they're getting back into this game in reality is if Mason puts him on his back and leads him back by him scoring a lot of points, because they don't have the firepower to get back in this game without him.
Nicholas has the basketball right wing, throws top of the key for Jones, who will give to the point guard Robinson with 10 on the shot clock. Robinson wants a high screen. He'll get it from Brady. Robinson hands off to Deion Jones. Deion, contested three. Back iron. He chases his offensive rebound down. Out to Nicholas for three. No good side iron, and Ravon Harris pulls down the rebound.
I think every possession for the Hawks should at least have one inside touch.
Well, it has to tonight. Ravon Harris short arms a three. Brady pulls the rebound down, and then outlets it to Deion Jones. Cross court find to Nicholas, who can't hold it. But Jones, Johnny on the spot, pulls it down. And with 12:50 to go in the second half, Monmouth up 11. Please, get a good possession.
Get a good possession. Settle down. Use your size advantage. Look, Tillman, look at the size advantage that Tillman has right now.
Nicholas has it down low. Bounces it to Chris Brady. He's fouled by Marcus Ware with 12:35 to go. Who, I believe, was that Fowler guarding Tillman?
Fowler was on him, as I say, look to our radio listeners. Fowler was guarding Tillman for a little bit in that possession. Fowler's probably 6'2", and Tillman's 6'9", 6'10".
That's the matchup problems that Coach Rice will show by playing both bigs, and there was no film on that before this. So Coach Casey sees that and goes, uh-oh. And how do they respond? Niagara is not a very big team to begin with, as Brady, having his best game as a Hawk, hits his free throw, putting MU on top now by 12.
I just credit Coach Rice for this. And he's such a phenomenal basketball mind. And he really game planned for this game to take advantage of their size and take advantage of Tillman and Brady and Hudiger and just get them the ball down low. And not just say get them the ball down low, but run actual plays where the Hawk bigs are in position to make something happen.
Chris Brady, one of those bigs, sits down with a career-high 8 points as his two free throws put MU on top by 13, and he has looked tremendous tonight. As Tyrone O'Garo back in, Monmouth plays 2-3. Mason, top of the key, goes foul line Snowden. He goes right at Tillman. Nicholas blocked it. Batted ball a couple times. And O'Garo says, that's enough. I'll take that, thank you. And he'll dribble out of trouble.
There's three guys guarding Tillman there. He's got to be strong with the ball and outlet the ball. Either somebody's got to come back to it, or he's just got to find a way to get it to Robinson to outlet. Three guys were guarding him. It would have been numbers for the Hawks on the other way.
O'Garo was called for a double dribble after that crazy sequence. And that one's on Robinson. He's got to trail back and go get the ball from his post play. So Niagara has it with under 12 to go, and they throw another one away. Nicholas has it. You know, Niagara's just handing the ball away.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of sloppy play.
That's frustrating. They do average almost 79 a game, but they turn it over a lot. Robinson has Mason on him. Hands off to Jones. Pull from the right elbow. Bottom of the net. Hawks with their largest lead of the game. They're leading 52-37.
I love that shot from Deion Jones, and we got to see that more and more from him. We've talked about on some of the prior broadcasts that they're really going to pack the lane now that he has the ball. The scouting report's out. He's got to keep going to that pull-up jump shot.
Niagara moving it along the perimeter. Myers goes to McCall. Back to Myers, left wing three. No good. O'Garo skies for the rebound.
And Mason is getting more and more frustrated.
Outlet, Deion Jones. Deion in the lane. Wave off the shot. He'll go to the line for two when we come back. And how about that old school move by Deion Jones?
It's amazing. Deion Jones, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's just powerful and crafty with his body control getting into the lane.
11:07 to go, second half. Monmouth up by 15, and we step out for 60 seconds on the Shore Sports Network. Along with Steve Bazzaz, I'm Eddie Acapinti. Monmouth leading at Niagara right now, 52-37. And Steve, it's been a revelation in this game how good Monmouth's post players have been. Also, the balanced Hawks scoring aiding this 15-point advantage.
Let's credit the coaching staff and Coach Rice and his preparation. He made great adjustments going into this game and putting the two bigs in the starting lineup. The size of the Hawks have given Niagara so many problems in this game. And the zone, the 2-3 zone, Monmouth doesn't play zone a lot. They go to it every now and then. Their staple is really more man-to-man defense, but they've played zone practically this whole game, and it's really bothered Niagara. And again, Mason has not really been able to get anything going.
And Steve, how about this? As Deion Jones is at the line for two, 7 of the 10 Hawks that have played in tonight's game have scored at least 5 points. As Deion Jones adds now to that total, he's the second Hawk in double figures. He's got 10, joining Justin Robinson, who has 12.
And nice to see Robinson get going offensively. 5 of 6 from the line, or 5 of 6 from the floor, and 2 of 3 from long range.
And Deion Jones adds another one. He's got 11. Monmouth now on top, 54-37. 11 minutes to go in our second half. Really, really good effort put forth by this MU team here at Niagara. They're all over Mason. He hits the deck. It's a turnover. Jones and Nicholas ahead of the pack. Red misses the layup, but he's thrown to the ground, and he'll have 2 free throws with 10:48 to go in this game.
Just if you're a Niagara fan or a Niagara coach, it is a tough game to watch as they continually turn the ball over. They have now 15 turnovers. The Hawks have 14 turnovers. It seems like they're taking better care of the ball, but I think it feels that way because they're shooting the ball so well at 58%.
Yeah, Mama's shooting it real well. As Steve said, 58, almost 59%. Nicholas makes his first one. The Hawks 8 of 8 from the line right now, 5 of 11 from 3. You know, Mama came into this game, Steve. They had hit the third most threes in the MAC. They have been less reliant on the long-range shot tonight as Nicholas makes his second, and they lead by 19 on the road.
Yeah, it's all about game plan and taking advantage of the matchups.
Credit, as Steve's been saying all broadcast, credit Coach Rice and staff for this game plan. Myers caught in the air, down low Ware, is fouled by O'Garo. That's his fourth foul, and it comes with 10:33 to go. And you said it earlier, Steve, he hasn't scored. It's been a tough, tough go of things for Tyrone. And I don't think it's because he didn't start. I think, as you made the point earlier, it's just because he's not a good matchup for this Niagara team.
It's not the right matchup for him. And again, there's going to be times, games like that. And That's why you have a team, and that's why Coach Rice plays so many players. Sometimes it's not your night, and other guys have to step up.
I'm going to make a parallel to that after this possession. Niagara has the ball, down 19. Mason attacks the basket. He misses one. Ware collects the offensive rebound, and he is blocked on the way up by Tillman. The Hawks will get it back on the alternate possession with 10:20 to go. And Steve, the point I want to make, I want to bring Monmouth fans back about more years than I want to admit. And John Bunch was a 7'2" house that former coach Dave Calloway rode to the NCAAs in 2006. He had games when he was good, and there were certain games he couldn't play. And it's not that Tyrone's that big of a player height-wise, but it's very similar.
Absolutely. You got to play your matchups. There were a lot of matchups for Bunch that the game was just too fast for, and he was running foul line to foul line.
Here, Monmouth turns one over. Nicholas threw a bounce pass right to the feet of Marvin Jordan. Out to Mason. Gets Nicholas in the air, and he is fouled going to the basket by Zach Tillman. 9:52 to go second half. Monmouth 56, Niagara 37.
Eddie, let me say something about John Bunch, too, because, you know, it seems like 7-foot guys are always like lightning rods for criticism.
That's true.
You know, it's like, you know, they expect every 7-footer to be able to do so much, and he took some criticism, but here's the thing. I firmly believe that if John Bunch wasn't on our team in 2006.
I was going to say, let's preface it by this. You were on the team.
Right. If John Bunch isn't on our team in 2006, we don't win the NEC, and we don't go to the NCAA tournament. His size and his shot blocking, and Coach Calloway went to a 2-3 zone in the championship game there, and John Bunch blocked everything. I mean, he was absolutely phenomenal.
Talk more about that in a second as Antoine Mason makes both free throws. He now has 7, and Monmouth leads by 17, 56-39. Under 10 to go, second half. Deion Jones has it, top of the key. Throws for Chris Brady on the wing. Goes to DeLeo in the corner. Max drives baseline. Out to Nicholas, who had 3, didn't want it. Instead, cross-court find to Robinson. Back to Nicholas. Fires one down low to DeLeo. Max lays it in. Top of the Hawks back up by 19. Beautiful ball movement.
You know, Niagara's not playing a very good game, Eddie, but I think the potential of this Hawks team is really coming out inside-outside play.
Mason, quick 3. Monmouth back the other way. DeLeo is hammered to the ground. That's a big foul by Ramon Snowden. They may need to monitor that one, as that was a really aggressive foul by Max DeLeo going up.
If that Andrew Nicholas foul was a flagrant in the Siena game, then so's that one.
They're going to put... By the way, I like when I'm right sometimes. They're going to send both teams to the bench. They're going to review this foul on Ramon Snowden for being flagrant, as he sent Max DeLeo sprawling to the ground. Steve, when the officials go to the replay with Monmouth leading 58-39, 9:10 to go, what are they looking for right now?
Well, they're seeing if he made an over-aggressive attempt, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a non-attempt at the ball. When you crash down on somebody and make it really over-aggressive, it's fine to swat at the ball, but if you continue and follow through and really make that follow-through aggressive, then they're probably going to call an intentional foul. And again, Red did the same thing. Andrew Nicholas did the same thing against Siena and got called for one. If that was one, then this one should be as well.
Game reset. 9:10 to go. Monmouth 58, Niagara 39. The Hawks with 16 fouls. Niagara in the double bonus over 10. Folks, please stay tuned post-game. We will be joined by head coach King Rice right here on the Shore Sports Network. Get his thoughts on this contest. And while we do have a free minute, we would like to let everyone know that Scala's Pizzeria in West End, which it pains me to say this because I'm starving, but Scala's Pizzeria is a proud supporter of the Monmouth Hawks. For great pizza and more, go visit our good buddies Faz and Will, one block from the ocean in West End, or give them a call, 732-222-8728, or scalaspizzeria.com. You know, it's cold outside. Give them a call to deliver. I could go for a slice and a cannoli tonight.
Oh, woo. Okay. Woo. Looking forward to exploring Buffalo with you tonight, Eddie.
Yeah, that's right. Steve and I up here all weekend with the basketball team. Jeff Stapleton, the senior associate AD, made the trip with us. We got tonight, tomorrow night, and then Sunday against Canisius. Both teams probably about 20 minutes outside of Buffalo where we are staying with the team. Our first time up here, thankfully, knock on press box or press table, missed the bulk of the snow. Yeah, I know you had to drive through some snow last night, so good job by you.
Yeah, I was out exploring and checking out the sights.
They rule not a flagrant foul, just a regular foul on Snowden. So DeLeo makes his first free throw. I know we're looking forward to doing the same later.
And Eddie, let me thank you for bringing up John Bunch in 2006, and it's always nice to get a little nostalgic.
It's weird when we were part of the nostalgia, as DeLeo has made two free throws and then back the other way, an unforced error. Rayvon Harris called for a travel. Monmouth up 21 with 9:05 to go. And Steve, worth mentioning, that was Monmouth's last trip to the NCAAs. Your senior year, I was more than happy to go on that ride with the team as a student broadcaster. It was a great, great run.
Oh, it really was. It was the best experience of my life, and hopefully Coach Rice has the team headed back in that direction.
Well, so far tonight, they look great as Andrew Nicholas is fouled from behind. That foul will go on Marvin Jordan. Nicholas will have two free throws as he picks up his third foul.
And the Hawks right now are dominating this game. Just every facet of the game, they are dominating. With the exception of turnovers, I think if Coach Rice looks at the stats, he's going to say, I wish we didn't turn the ball over as much as we did. But they're forcing turnovers from Niagara. They're shooting a great percentage from the floor. They're going more inside out in this second half. The bigs are just playing a phenomenal basketball game, all of them. Brady, Hudiger, Tillman, they're just playing so well. And they're staying within themselves, too. And it's just been a complete dominant performance right now.
Andrew Nicholas goes one of two from the line. He's got eight. Monmouth on top, 61-39. 8:40 to go. Mason has it left wing. 21 points below his average right now, and he's double-teamed by DeLeo and Nicholas. They're going to call the foul on Max DeLeo. That's his first foul. One and one coming for Antoine Mason. At the next media, we'll go back through our Coke Zero scoreboard in MAC play. Fans were probably listening at halftime going, you read scores, but I didn't hear every team mentioned, and we'll get to that. There was one game last night in MAC play that Steve and I referenced. We'll get all that at the under eight. Tillman back in. James back in. DeLeo and Robinson take a seat. Antoine Mason's first free throw is good. He's got 8 points. We know he can erupt. He just, as Steve has said, he just doesn't look into it this evening for one reason or another. And I think, Steve, part of that is he makes the second. Monmouth up by an even 20. Part of that might be, I don't think Niagara was as prepared for as much zone defense as Monmouth has given them tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and they've done a great job in the zone, and they go to this big lineup too every now and then. Look at this lineup on the floor as James is running the point, Brady and Tillman, and then on the wings you're going to have Jones and Nicholas.
James controlling, throws left wing for Deion Jones, 15 on the shot clock. Jones gets a high ball screen from Chris Brady. And he'll be called for palming the ball with 8:15 to go in the second half.
They actually called contact. It's about time that Jones got a call on the outside
Wow, that's my mistake. Well, he did palm the ball.
He did. He definitely did palm it, but something that we were saying in the first half, Jones gets contacted a lot on the outside, and the new rules, he should be getting fouls, and that time he got one.
He'll go to the line. Deion has 11 tonight. And he misses that one too strong. I didn't realize the reason he palmed it was because there was that contact. Tyrone O'Garrow and his four fouls check back in for Chris Brady. And Steve has said it all broadcast, but Brady and Tillman, the Monmouth bigs, but mainly Brady and Tillman who have seen the extended period of action. And Hudiger's been good in short times. They've been the difference tonight. As Jones makes the second one, he ties Robinson with a team-high 12. And the Hawks lead by 21. As MU sits 2-3, Marvin Jordan will run the show. Out to McCall, now back to Mason. Throws back to McCall. Bounces one to Snowden. Snowden back to McCall. He'll attack and drive. Left corner. Three for Jordan. Is short. Tillman skies for the rebound for Monmouth. James will get it. 7:45 and ticking. Hawks cross the timeline. Monmouth working it up here. James is going to attack. Shuffle it down to Tillman, and he's fouled by Jordan.
I'm sorry, Eddie. Josh James is not a natural point guard. but he's got natural basketball instincts. And he runs and gets the ball here in the corner as Tillman was trapped and O'Garo was trapped. O'Garo catches the ball up here at half court, and he's in a little bit of trouble, and Josh James comes running to the ball and gets it. He's just got such great basketball IQ.
7:39 to go, second half. Monmouth 62, Niagara 41. As we step out, Ray, for just 30 seconds here on the Shore Sports Network. Back here courtside, Monmouth leading Niagara 62-41. Give another check at our Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. Last night in MAC action, Steve and I referenced this game already. Quinnipiac defeated Manhattan 81-76, and that big decision for the Bobcats. The rest of the scores right now in the league. Ryder continues to lead at Canisius 60-56, 6 minutes to go, second half there. Iona 70, Fairfield 60, 5:36 to go, second half. And just underway in the second half, Siena leads Marist 34-32. Steve, it's our first go-around in MAC play. I know you and I are very excited to kind of get things underway, see the different gyms, the different areas. We got to get whole new places to eat on the road. This is going to be an interesting experience for MU. But if they're able to hang on and get this win tonight, anytime you win on the road in the MAC, that's an accomplishment.
Absolutely, and it's an accomplishment because they're also such a young team. It's the first time that a lot of these players have traveled like this in their careers. A score that does scare me a little bit for the Hawks is that if Ryder goes in and beats Canisius, I don't think Jimmy Barron wants to drop two in a row at home. You can expect Canisius to be really ready to go on Sunday.
Awesome. Canisius, a good team. They come in at 9-6 overall. Tillman makes his first free throw. They feature the league preseason player of the year. And why is it whenever Monmouth faces Jimmy Barron, he's got a son that's just a lights-out shooter?
Yeah, I hope he's got no more kids coming up because all of his kids can really play.
Tillman missed the second. Mason with the rebound. Hawks lead by 22. When Monmouth faced Rhode Island, I think in 08, his son Jimmy was a great shooter. And now Billy Barron, a Rhode Island transfer, one of the leading scorers in the country, second leading scorer in the league. Three missed in the corner by Jordan. It's put out of bounds by MU. Niagara will inbound.
And Jimmy Barron came into Boylan and lit it up.
Was that your last year on the team or first year after?
First year out. And okay. I remember Jimmy Barron pulling up from about 35 feet away and knocking it down like it was nothing.
Well, Billy's got the same range. I'll tell you, Canisius had Notre Dame beat on the road as Mason is fouled. Kind of an odd jump stop in the lane. They'll call Deion Jones for his second. 7:18 to go, second half. Monmouth up by 22.
You know, that's like Mason just tried to drive between two guys, and he jump stopped really high in the air and landed, had nowhere to go. But because it's such an awkward play and such a force, he ends up getting the call. But I think that's a tough call there.
He'll make his free throw here. He does get in the double digits. He has 10. But we can't harp on it enough. He averages 28 a game. For Niagara, he leads the country in scoring. Makes both here, cutting the Monmouth lead to 20. Niagara is going to continue to pressure full. Monmouth will break it easily with Josh James, as now the Hawks can get it back and run some clock with 7 minutes and counting to go in our second half. Zach Tillman catches it on the right wing, throws it down low to Deion Jones. He'll throw it over to Tillman and Zach. It'll be a 3 second call. Not sure which Hawk, probably Jones, the culprit there. As we'll get our first look tonight at Christian White, he'll check in for Andrew Nicholas.
Well, Hawks now have to do a good job of running offense, not turning the ball over. Also, you got a bad defensive team who needs to get stops. That usually doesn't bode well for that defensive team.
And we'll see here as Jordan drives right at James. Monmouth has possession. They're going to rule a jump. Niagara will get it on the alternate arrow. They'll get a squeegee on the floor to get that up. 63-43 MU leads. Steve, it's weird, though. When you go into that kind of, it's not a stall offense, but when you go into that run clock offense, could that take you out of your offensive rhythm potentially?
Yeah, sometimes it does. I think They still have to take advantage of their size, and there's nothing wrong with running good offense and getting inside looks. You don't have to necessarily bring the shot clock all the way down, but I think sometimes conservative offense means just get the ball inside at least once.
Mamet stays zone here. Niagara moving it on the perimeter. Jordan thought it a deep three. Instead throws foul line. McCall out to Snowden for three. He'll put it in. 63-46.
And that was good offense right there by Niagara. I haven't really said that all game. Hit the middle of the zone and then a kick out.
Oh, what a move by James. In and out dribble after MU broke the pressure to lay it in.
Yep, and Tillman stands there and gets in the way of the defense, and Josh James gets an open look.
And back the other way, Mason is fouled going to the basket. With 6:12 to go, Hawks lead by 19. That's a high score 28 a game foul.
I still think
my humble opinion.
I think Tillman has to do a better job of being straight up. I think he gets away or gets in the habit of coming down a little bit too much, and he just has to get better at going straight up.
6:12 to go, second half. Mason makes his first free throw. He's got 12 now. Brady will check in for Zach Tillman. And something that Brady's done well throughout the year, Steve, it's weird. He's either off his feet or he does put his arms straight up, where Zach will, like you said, bring the arms down. And even if it's not a foul, it always looks like a foul.
Yeah, it's kind of Brady leaves his feet too much, and Tillman doesn't leave his feet at all but comes down too much.
Mammoth breaks the pressure easily. James to Brady, easy layup as the Hawks up by 19. Brady in a double digits with 10.
Again, bad defensive teams who have to press up and pressure. That usually doesn't bode well for them, and that time the Hawks get a layup in transition.
Snowden whips a pass down low, and Harris is fouled. It's either Ogero or Brady. They'll get Brady for his second foul with 5:53 to go.
And if I'm Coach Rice right now, I would burn a timeout, and I would get into them because their intensity on the defensive side is not nearly what it was earlier on. So if I was him, burn a quick 30, just refocus them. You know, you don't have to rip into them, but just refocus them. Guys, the game's not over yet. We still got 6 minutes to go. Don't lose your defensive intensity.
Ravon Harris makes his first one, and it's funny. When you play a team that doesn't necessarily put forth an effort on defense, as Harris makes them both, you can get into that same mindset and go, well, if they're not playing, why do I have to play? Josh James has it poked out. He gets it back. And a foul call. It's either on Harris or on McCall. It was very physical. And I did hear an arm slap. Mammoth has figured out the Niagara trap, by the way. They've gotten some layups back the other way. As now in the double bonus, James with two free throws. Mammoth leading 67-50.
You know, now with Niagara trying to trap a little bit, we'll see if Coach Rice goes to Justin Robinson, who's been on the bench for a long time. He's played a very, very good game tonight. He's been stuck on the bench, so we'll see if Coach Rice wants to get the point guard back in to control the ball better in the backcourt.
Marcelo Hudiger will check in. So Mammoth will go with the two bigs, but now it's Hudiger and Brady. James goes one of two at the line. Hawks lead by 18. McCall back the other way in a hurry, runs right into Hudiger and will earn the foul call. He was out of control kind of the whole time, though. Coach Rice is going to take, Steve, a 60-second timeout. We're going to keep things right here, however. 5:44 to go, second half. Mammoth up 68-50. You had the possession before, said you would take a timeout there. Now Coach Rice waits the extra possession, so he, instead of doing that, he just takes two timeouts. If you think about it, he takes two 30s, which equate to a 60. His team's up 18, and I think he sees what you saw, very lackadaisical the last few possessions defensively.
Absolutely, and I love the timeout by Coach Rice, and you can tell that he's not very happy, and he's the kind of guy that he's pedal to the metal. You got to be aggressive, and be aggressive for 40 minutes. Don't lose your intensity. And, yes, it's very, you know, natural for some of these guys to kind of peel back a little bit. They're up 18. They've got the game in control. But you don't want to fool around on the road, and you don't want to fool around against a team who's got the nation's leading scorer. So I love this timeout by Coach Rice. Refocus the group. Let them know that we got to play 40 minutes of intense basketball.
And while we have the minute, we'd like to thank our good friends and premier sponsors this basketball season. World Subaru, Shrewsbury Avenue in Tinton Falls, Coca-Cola, McClune's Restaurants, and Surf Taco for their support all season long, as well as our good friends and our media room food sponsors, as well as our three-point sponsors at home game, University Subs and Deli. All MU students and employees receive 10% off of their total order, and fans come to the next Monmouth home game, and after every Hawk three-point field goal, you have a chance to win a free sub. Two free throws coming here, Steve, for Tajir McCall. He's got 10, now 11. Worth mentioning earlier today, the Monmouth women's team defeated Canisius in the kids' game, matinee at the MAC, a noon start in front of about 900 local middle and elementary school students. Good win for Coach Paul Mateer and crew, as Hudiger had the rebound on the second missed free throw and then lost it out of bounds. That'll get a couple of players off the bench for Monmouth and into the game. Ogero, Nicholas, Robinson, and DeLeo check in. And the only Hawk left on the floor was Chris Brady. As Jones, James, Hudiger, and White sit down. I had to make sure they had five on the floor, too. 5:35 and ticking. Monmouth up 17. McCall out to Snowden for three. That one's short. Ogero goes high for the rebound. And now, as Steve said earlier, Robinson back into the game. Does he look like he's a little ginger to you? Maybe on that right leg. Monmouth moving it on the perimeter here. Offensive foul called on Justin Robinson. I saw the play. It wasn't a good call.
I don't like that call. They called a moving screen on him. I think that was a tough call. Robinson looks like he's always got a little bit of a limp going on, that he's got a bad wheel that he has to tend to.
He's a tough kid, though. Plays through a lot.
Plus, he sat for a long time, and he's got to get loose again.
McCall is fouled going to the basket. 5:06 to go. The foul's really piling up here, with Monmouth leading 68-51, and it really looks like this. It looks as though Niagara has kind of made the decision, you know, our outside shots aren't falling. We're putting our head down, we're going to the basket. McCall misses that one way to the left. And Steve, they're earning the foul call, just kind of attacking the rim.
And they're getting to the line again. 10 fouls on Monmouth and 10 fouls against them as well. Over 20 fouls have been called in this half, but it's been a little bit tough to watch kind of the foul shots in this half. But you're right, Eddie. They are really not shooting the ball well from the outside, and it's really how they make their living was with Mason getting to the foul line.
McCall missed the second one. Back for Monmouth the other way. Justin Robinson was fouled by Tajir McCall. What's funny is that wasn't a foul, but the bump before, I think, was. And that may have been where the whole thing initiated. The fans don't like to poke from behind. They're in... I agree with him there, as Robinson will go to the line.
But if there's a point of emphasis on, you know, contact on the outside, you got to call the fouls and you got to call the bumps.
Robinson misses that one. I agree that, and we've seen that this year, and the games have, I think, been changed dramatically. It's almost as though you want to say, use common sense. If the guy's impeded, then do that, but don't call every little this. Which obviously everyone can see because they're watching us right now. Robinson goes one of two. It's 69-51. Snowden will be called for traveling back the other way. This second half, to be polite, has been unattractive.
That's one way to put it.
To be blunt, it's been ugly. Monmouth up 18. Why don't you make that point? Because we should give Jeff a headset, because he gets it. Robinson for Monmouth, back the other way, missing one at the rim. Brady misses the first one, puts the second one in. So, Steve, with Monmouth up 20, what Jeff was saying, he wants the Hawks to shorten this game up.
Absolutely, and what you got to do is you got to run good offense and get in the half court and just take time off the clock. But the Hawks are in complete control of this game, and that was a foul on Max.
And Max DeLeo fouls Antoine Mason, who banks a three from about 30 feet away. He'll have a chance for a four-point play. And he's cut the Monmouth lead now to 71-54. And he has 16.
It's plays like that that scare you because you don't want to get Mason rolling. Max contested, and you give him credit for the contest, but he fouled him. He certainly hit him. And again, sometimes scorers find ways to get the ball in the basket, and Mason banked it in.
Hey, when you're 30 feet away, just go like this. You just put your arms up. You'll be all right. Mason converts the four-point play. He's got 17, and Mamet's lead is just down to 16 now. Interesting 2 minutes or so we have on our hands with 4:20 and ticking. Max DeLeo throws it top of the key for Nicholas. He goes over to Tyrone O'Garo on the wing. Hand off to Robinson on the left wing. Top of the key, DeLeo throws back to Robinson. Robinson one-on-one with Cameron Fowler. Kicks it out to DeLeo. Pumps at three. Gets Mason in the air. Nice bounce pass for O'Garo, who cannot lay it in with the shot clock expiring. Back the other way.
O'Garo has to finish that. That's a killer for Niagara if he makes that.
And Mason is fouled again shooting a three-pointer, and that was a foul on Andrew Nicholas. That'll get us to the under four media with Monmouth leading 71-55, 3:45 to go. We'll step out for a frustrating 60-second timeout here on your home for the Hawks, the Shore Sports Network. Well, before we took our timeout with Monmouth leading 71-55 and 3:45 to go, my broadcast colleague and good friend Steve Bazaz, he had a point to make, and I'm sorry for cutting you off. We had to get the sponsors their love. But, Steve, why don't you make the point now that you were going to make before the media?
I was a complete zone out by me as you were going to commercial, and I'm staring at Coach Rice. And what Coach Rice was doing is that he was giving it to Tyrone O'Garo. Tyrone had a wide-open layup attempt, and that would have been a huge play because Monmouth worked the shot clock all the way down to 2 seconds. O'Garo caught the ball. He went up and missed the layup. And what Coach Rice was screaming at is that he wanted Tyrone O'Garo to go up, and he wanted him to dunk it and dunk it strong.
I support that.
Hmm.
Mason misses his first of three short. He was inexplicably fouled by Andrew Nicholas the possession before, and he actually, Steve, Mason, that is, went to the deck pretty hard. He's kind of stretching his left leg out. It's fairly inexcusable as Mason makes the second one. It's fairly inexcusable as Tillman comes in to foul a three-point shooter. It's really inexcusable to do it twice in the same minute span or so.
Two possessions in a row and a team who is really struggling and can't get really anything going offensively, and you're putting them to the line and fouling them shooting threes.
So Mason makes two of three, and he's cut Mamet's lead to the smallest lead it's been in a while, 71-57, with 3:45 to go, and Chris Brady throws one away, but then gets it back, and he steals it from a bad pass from Fowler.
You calling this second half unattractive is probably the biggest understatement of the broadcast so far.
It's a compliment, actually. This has been just as good. And the worst part is Mamet has played well. I mean, they're leading by 14. They've outscored Niagara by double digits here. It's just been, it's like a war of attrition.
I did see Coach Rice crack a smile on the sideline. His team has played so well tonight. And what really happened in this game is that Niagara had to get desperate, and they started pressuring the ball, and they started forcing more drives and more shots because they had to, and it's really kind of sloppied the game up.
Brady goes one of two from the line. The Hawks lead 72-57. Back the other way, Marvin Jordan tries a three, and he'll bury that one. We have a game on our hands. Hawks up 72-60. Inbound to Robinson. And Justin Robinson will get a timeout. Coach Rice takes a timeout with 3:29 to go. It's a 30-second timeout. And Steve, Mamet was successful early in this half, breaking that Niagara pressure. Quick ball movement, catching it on the run. Is that what you think he's telling his team now in the huddle?
Well, you got to have some sort of press break here to break the trap and then try to get an easy layup in transition. But the Hawks have just completely opened the door here for Niagara. They were out of this game. They were down 20. They had nothing going. But you foul three-point shooters, you commit turnovers, you miss wide-open layups. Niagara goes on a run. Mason starts getting more and more involved. Other guys start to believe. And now you have a game. And you're on the road, too. So the Hawks have completely opened the door here for Niagara because they believe right now. They haven't been in this game all game long. Now they're down 12, and they believe that they can win this game.
And you when you give a team hope who didn't have hope, it's a very scary proposition. Hawks do lead by double figures, 72-60, 3:29 to go. Monmouth will come out with Ty Ogero, Justin Robinson, Deion Jones, Andrew Nicholas, and Zach Tillman. Ogero to inbound. They don't guard the ball. Ogero's got to get it in. He does to Nicholas. Back to Ogero. Mason takes it away from him. And he'll miss the layup. Loose ball down low. Harris tried. Good and a foul. We have a brand new game at 72-62 with 3:21 to go.
Now, earlier on, when Brady was in, he's not in that position a lot where he's taking the ball out against the press. He's probably hasn't really faced that all year long. Brady comes out, Ogero comes back in. He's been a guy that hasn't been into this game at all so far, and he's really struggled. And now he's got to play a big role in the last 3 minutes of this game.
And Mamet Steve just up 9 now after that free throw was made. They barely crossed the timeline with it. Iona is being very aggressive, and they foul Andrew Nicholas. 3:12 to go. That foul goes on Snowden. That's his fourth foul. So now it'll come down to some free throw shooting with Monmouth leading by 9. They were up in this game by as many as 22.
Now, Coach Casey on the sidelines telling his guys, stop reaching in at the ball and just be straight up. And he's exactly right. They had a great trap there as Red bangs the first free throw home. They had a great trap there on the sideline, but they bailed him out.
I'm pretty sure one of our officials just spoke to one of the Niagara fans. There's like 30 people here. He just spoke to one of the Niagara fans in the end zone as Nicholas goes 2 of 2. And the Hawks, Steve, now up by 11. Niagara races it up floor in a hurry. Snowden out to Marvin Jordan. Throws it left wing. And that's Antoine Mason. Jordan back to Mason. He'll try a 3 from about 30 and miss that one. Loose ball. Tillman pulls it down. Then he is fouled from behind by Rayvon Harris, who smacks the ball into the ground. And now the frustration really starting to show for Niagara. That's his fourth foul. So he's got four. Four fouls on Snowden and four fouls also on Marvin Jordan.
Again, Mason, a 29% three-point shooter, and the zone has really given him problems today. You know, a contested three is something that Coach Rice wants for the Hawks, for Antoine Mason. That's not his game. 29% is not a high percentage shooting from the outside, and he really gets a lot of his points from getting to the foul line and drawing fouls.
Steve, Monmouth continues to shoot their free throws well as Tillman makes his first to put the Hawks up by 12. Make it 13. The MU bigs have been fantastic tonight.
And Tillman, one of six against Siena, has really hit his foul shots tonight, and I think that's a huge also for his confidence going forward of getting to the line and then converting.
Jordan missed the layup. It was knocked out of bounds, they say, by Monmouth. So Niagara will inbound, but before they do that, Chris Casey will take a timeout. 2:48 to go. 76-63 Monmouth lead. Steve, it's a full timeout. We'll step out as well. Ray, 30-second break, and then we're back courtside here on the Shore Sports Network. Aramark is an award-winning leader in professional services, and they are the official food service provider in the Monmouth Dining Services. They are proud to support the Hawks this basketball season. Cameron Fowler to inbound for Niagara. 2:45 and counting to go. Marvin Jordan drives baseline, leaves one behind for Snowden, who puts it in and one. 2:42 to go.
Eddie, I'm just kind of, I can't believe it. You know, they're playing so dumb right now. There's no other way to put it. They're not playing smart basketball. You know, you're going to let somebody go up and make a layup. If you're going to foul, don't let them get the shot up. And stopping the clock, letting them make foul shots and then set up a press is just not the right way to finish this game. And they're fouling three-point shooters. They've played such a good game up until about the six-minute mark of this second half.
Tillman called for the foul. It's his fifth, so he'll sit down. You know what would have been better? Just make the layup. And then we'll inbound it. Snowden shooting for a three-point play. He misses it. Ogero pulls down the rebound and then dribbles out of the double team. Throws ahead to Nicholas. And he'll lay one in to put Monmouth on top, 78-65.
That's a huge play right there. And Hawks getting two in transition from Red Nicholas. A missed layup there would have been really what Niagara needed.
Mason has it top of the key. He's got 19 in this one. Jump stop right into Nicholas. It'll be an offensive foul on Antoine Mason. And I think, Steve, Nicholas, who has the scorer's mentality himself, saw a fellow scorer in Mason put his head down. He goes, oh, I know what's happening next. Let me jump in front of him.
Absolutely, and that's a big play in this game. And see if the Hawks can get some momentum back and just finish this game out strong.
They break some pressure here. Just passing the ball around. Deion Jones is trapped in the corner, so Coach Rice will use his second-to-last timeout with 2:09 to go. Monmouth leading by 13. And it looks as though if you keep the ball out of the corners, keep in the middle of the floor, keep it moving, this Niagara pressure isn't exactly a Rubik's Cube.
Absolutely, but credit Niagara. They found hope in this game, and they really started playing harder in the last 4 minutes than they ever have in this game. And they're trapping, and they're all over the court, and they're being aggressive because they have to be, and they're fouling. But this is the hardest they've played all game. And Monmouth really gave them hope.
Well, and a point, Steve, you were talking to Jeff Stapleton off air, our co-worker, our boss at the athletic department. and Jeff, who knows his hoops, he's seen a lot of Monmouth ball. He said that what Niagara did to get into it, they've just dirtied the game up, and they've started pressuring and driving and fouling. And that's their best hope because they're not shooting the ball well.
Not shooting the ball well, and a lot of their points have come from the foul line. I really credit Coach Rice, though. And let's keep in mind here that Monmouth has played a very, very good game. And the scouting report and preparation was phenomenal. Niagara's kind of getting back in this game. A little bit smoke and mirrors and a little bit of poor decisions from the Hawks. But let's try to keep in mind the good performance by the Hawks this game and the Hawk bigs.
Antoine Mason commits his third foul, sending Deion Jones to the line for two with 2:09 to go. Again, stay tuned post-game. We will be joined as Deion makes his first by Coach King Rice. Get his thoughts on his team's big game tonight. We'll also give you final game statistics as well as one final look at the MAC scoreboard, all coming up on our post-game show.
Matt, you know what I fear in games like this when there's a team like Niagara who are out of it, now they're back into it, and they're aggressive, and they're fouling, and they're also a little frustrated. So I worry about kind of a trap and a scrum, and you know, you just don't want to see anything like that.
Well, I agree, actually, as Deion Jones makes two free throws, then a missed Niagara free throw the other way. Nicholas ahead of the pack will lay it in, and that might do it, Steve, as the Hawks go on top, 82-65.
And nice job by Deion Jones as Red gets the run out, and Mason just doesn't even attempt to make a play at a block or a steal or anything.
Chris Gay, he kind of pulled up and almost to wave the white flag as Chris Casey takes a 30-second timeout here. So after this was cut back into single digits, Monmouth has pushed it back to 17 with 107 seconds to go in this one. And, Steve, it looks as though Monmouth will go into the Gallagher Center and come away with their second MAC win, their first MAC win on the road.
Well, it's never easy, right, Eddie? And from about the 6-minute mark to about the 2-minute mark, Monmouth gave you some reasons to doubt that they were going to come out of here with a W, but Niagara cut it to 12 after being down 22. But Monmouth takes care of business. It looks like they've taken care of business. Hopefully they can walk out of here with a W. They got to make their foul shots here. You know they're going to be fouled in the press. Colin Stewart and Christian White have come in. They're good foul shooters. So hopefully they can convert on the foul line. No dumb fouls, you know, and stay away from any frustration-type plays from Niagara and get out of here with a well-fought win.
Couldn't agree more as Niagara has it here with a minute 40 to go. Jordan's three is long. And Snowden loses their rebound out of bounds with 1:35 to go. They're still going to pressure full as Niagara. They'll inbound to Colin Stewart. Work it over to Deion Jones. As now the pressure kind of falls back a little bit. Risky pass, bodies collide, it's out of bounds, they say, off of Josh James. So Niagara gets it back, trailing Monmouth 82-65.
Coach Rice cracking a smile on the sideline. You know, I think his patience with his young team also, he knows when to give it to him a little bit, and he knows when to ease the reins as well.
Fowler hits a floater in the lane, 1:15 and ticking, 82-67. Now our game, inbound to Christian White, who throws ahead to Josh James, and now it looks as though Monmouth is going to play keep away, Steve, as we tick down now under a minute. Fowler commits a foul with 1:02 to go. Niagara's next game, they host Ryder Sunday afternoon. That's a 2 o'clock start right here at the Gallagher Center. Jalen Palm, Marcelo Hudiger ready to check in, and it looks as though, and that wasn't easy by any stretch, as James makes his first one. Steve, Monmouth will even up their overall record at 8-8, and more importantly, go to 2-3 in league play.
And again, Eddie, a very winnable game here for the Hawks, and they took care of business. Seeing these teams in person and watching, this is a team that Monmouth is better than. And they have more size and they have more players. You know, Mason seems to be like the only real guy they have that can do what we just saw.
And he makes a show circus shot, and Hudiger bumped him. So Antoine Mason will go to the line for a three-point play. That is, and Steve is right, tonight's mood, optimism. You're up by 14 if you're a Monmouth fan. But, like, that foul is just not smart. And it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 14. You have to know that's a bad foul, right?
Absolutely. It's bad foul. It's their best guy getting to the rim and doing what he does. You have to stand there with your hands straight up and not commit a foul there.
And I get the no easy basket mantra. Trust me. Deion Jones tries a bullet pass ahead. It goes off the thigh of Mason. And then Jones fouls Marvin Jordan. This game just won't end.
Yeah, and again, this is going to be an absolute miracle. It's a 13-point game with 46 seconds left. I think the sloppiness is what's going to bother Coach Rice. We'll get a final turnover number for both teams at the end of the game, which it's going to be. It could be in the 40s total. It might be 20 turnovers each way.
I think easily.
But that time, to me, that's actually not a bad foul by Deion Jones, because he went up, he challenged, he wasn't going to make the layup, so go earn your 2 points, as opposed to letting somebody finish in the lane and then foul him and compound the problem.
Jordan made the first one, so one more coming with Niagara trailing by 12. He misses the second, Deion Jones pulls it down, so Monmouth up 83-71. There's two Hawks back. Hudiger will have a breakaway right-handed dunk, and there's your exclamation point with the Hawks up 85-71. Mason, wild shot back the other way. This is Ravon Smith. He's fouled. 31 seconds to go. Just put your hands up. You don't have to foul if you're Monmouth. You're up by 14.
I think we probably win the award for most theatrical broadcast, too, because we are up in arms over here about some of these fouls. And
you can let them score there. It's cool. The Hawks lead by 14. A couple of free throws coming. The first one is missed. Another one for Ravon Harris. I just don't like bad fouls.
Yeah, it's bad basketball. Can be tough to watch. But, again, this game should be all about how well the Hawks played on the road. Some of these guys are on their first big trip. And the message here should be, like you said, optimism, positive. They played a very, very good game. Niagara, again, had to sloppy the game up to get back into it a little bit. But as Colin Stewart fouls.
Colin Stewart traveled the possession before and then commits a foul.
Yeah, Colin Stewart catches the ball here right in front of us and travels and then commits a foul on Antoine Mason, who's 25 feet away from the basket. But again, we're going to keep it positive here, Eddie.
I know people are listening like, what is going on up there? Here's the thing. Monmouth's up 85-72 with 25 seconds to go. But if this second half was timed, as in like number of time, because Mason hits the first one, it's been an hour and a half, I think, for the second half. And the worst part is, and folks, by any stretch of the imagination, I am no basketball expert. Trust me, Steve played in college. Steve knows a lot more than he'll forget more than I know about hoops. All right? But come on, with the fouls, let's go. I'm hungry. Mason goes 2 of 2. Thank you, Ray. I did hear that, and that is just bad. But credit Niagara. They're playing to the end. As with Monmouth up 85-74 and 15 seconds to go, the Hawks are playing catch here. Hudiger throws one out front to Deion Jones. And dare I say, that should end it as the clock will tick down from 5 seconds. And Monmouth will come away with an 85-74 win. And it felt like we played after watching that second half. The Hawks will even up their record at 8-8 and go to 2-3 in the league.
Now, what I don't want to happen, Eddie, is for that sloppy finish. Again, the last 6 minutes of the game were rough. And sometimes, you know, teams that are down and desperate have to do that to try to get back in the game. But what we don't want to happen is to have that sloppy finish kind of ruin the positive energy that the Hawks have had going in this game. You know, and you don't want them to think about the last 6 minutes of the game. You want them to think about the first 34 minutes of the game and how well they played and how great of a game plan the coaching staff came with and how great of a game the bigs played. Zach Tillman and Chris Brady were phenomenal in this game. Let's talk about Max DeLeo's energy on the outside of the zone, and Justin Robinson played a really good game.
He absolutely did.
He kind of got buried on the bench there and looked like he was banged up, but he played a really good game. Let's keep the positive energy going, and that's also a learning experience too for a young team.
Well, I was just going to make the same point, Steve. You're right. This game was a microcosm of seasons where you're high, then you're down, then you're high, and then you're down. And you said it, and we can't overstate it enough. That's an 11-point win on the road in the MAC. That's a great accomplishment. And to your point, what was Monmouth able to do as we have begun our post-game show? What were they able to do so well in the first half that they sustained in the second half to get that win?
Well, it was the inside play of Brady and Tillman that really set the tone early on in this game. The Hawks were really putting an onus on getting the ball inside to the bigs. And they started off the game so strong. Also, the 2-3 zone was phenomenal in this game. Mason really didn't get anything going until the end when, again, play got sloppy. But Mason, for a long time, had 5 points. And he was also on the bench. What did he finish with minutes-wise?
He ended up playing, we're giving our final stats. He ended up playing 31 minutes. Now, that's inflated. Played, I think, 15 in the first half. He's used to playing 37. And worth mentioning also, the important number here, Monmouth victorious, 85-74 over Niagara. We will be joined by Coach Rice shortly. Steve and I are going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll officially kick off our postgame show, but it was a good one tonight. Took a little longer than maybe we would have liked, but hey, beggars can't be choosers, and I'll take a Monmouth win every day of the week. Hawks 85-74 over Niagara. Ray, give us a 2-minute timeout. We'll bring it right back here to the Gallagher Center on the Shore Sports Network.
A little better, a little more. Yeah. I can't hear him.
Well, we're back.
Okay, I can hear you.
You can hear me, Coach. All you have to do is hear me, because
right.
I'm the one asking the questions. Is Monmouth victorious over Niagara 85-74 here on our Boathouse Bar and Grill postgame show, joined by the head coach of the Monmouth Hawks, King Rice. And Coach Rice, Steve and I made the point during the broadcast, anytime you win a road league game, you've got to feel great, especially the way your team was able to do so tonight. You won a different way, and the inside play tonight, I know Steve will get specific with you. Talk about the win as an overall perspective, but your young bigs tonight really grew up and played well.
Well, I'll tell you, this was a total team effort. From when we started talking about playing the two bigs together, Tyrone not getting upset that maybe he wasn't going to start. That set the tone. And all week he was like, Coach, whatever you need me to do, whatever's best for the team. It started with that. It started with the blue team, Colin, Christian, Jalen, just really, really, really getting us prepared for this game on how Niagara was going to come. And then the young guys, I believe in them so much. I'm happy that they had this type of success. I'm happy for my whole team. And now that you get the first one, hopefully we can continue it on Sunday.
Coach, something that we talked about during the broadcast was how you and your coaching staff really had a great game plan going into this game and took advantage of your size. Talk about also the 2-3 zone that seemed to give Mason problems. And talk about also what seemed to be the plays that Siena were running with the bigs ducking in off the flex cut. You guys put that in for that game to try to take advantage of the post-ups down low.
Well, Steve, you know I'm so excited right now, and you just asked me like 12 questions. All right, first things first. Yes, I did see Siena run that, but I've been wanting to do that since I saw North Dakota State do it against Ryder. Okay, we have the personnel, and it's different. It's different, and it's a little bit different than our rip, and it's just two different looks, and I thought spreading people out on the baseline might be something that would be good for our team. The two bigs playing together and what we were trying to do, I'm a guy that wants to give kids freedom. When you give kids freedom, sometimes it's a little too much for them to understand. So I'm telling them, when you're open, shoot it. Well, in a couple of our latest games since the break, two in particular, we reverted back to taking too many quick, bad shots for our team. And we weren't taking our time and getting the looks that are good for us. So with the two bigs, it makes us slow down. And then we know what we're looking for. We're looking for red off the screens. We're looking for the bigs to duck in. And then what happens is the guys up top relax because they don't think the two guards are going to do anything. Then Justin jets in there and gets a bucket. Then Deion goes and gets a jumper. So it fits our team. I played zone. Everybody knows I'm a man-to-man coach. But I'm also a person who learned from Coach Smith and Kevin Stallings. And you do what you have to do to win the games. And
that's
today, that's what we had to do.
That's impressive answering three questions at once.
Very
that's,
well done.
That's Steve's allotment. He's done now. Monmouth again victorious over Niagara 85-74. Coach, we'll get you out of here on this one. Talk about what it's like taking this young team on the road, this first kind of extended long conference road trip, and what it's like to come into this place, never an easy place to play, with this young group getting this all-important first MAC road win.
Well, we have the right kids. These kids are incredible, and I was on them extremely, extremely hard after the break. They know who I am. They know I love them. I care about them. I want what's best for them. But as a basketball coach, I'm going to drive you. I'm going to drive you. And I think they're accepting it more since we've been back than they were when we first got back. And I tried to explain to them, guys, for us, the way to play is sharing the ball. If we had Michael Jordan, well, I didn't even say Michael. I said when Michael played in college, he shared the ball too. That's why he averaged 15. Okay? LeBron, anybody. If we had LeBron, maybe he'd get to shoot when he wanted. But for our team to be good, it's a team game. And then when everybody's sharing the ball, Red could be dynamite. Deion could get to 30. Justin can score. The big boys can score. Now everybody can score. And because we shared the ball, they continued to play defense.
Coach, your team did that tonight. Balanced effort. Four guys in double figures. Three guys with 9 points. Congratulations on this big 11-point win over Niagara. And thanks for joining us here postgame.
Well, that is great. And I'm like I said, I'm so, so excited for my kids. I want to say hello to my wife, Summer, and my two boys, Alexander and Julian. Miss you guys. I know y'all were listening tonight. And let me do this. I want to take my hat off to the women's team and Jenny and their staff for sticking together and putting those wins on the board the way they have these last two games. Ladies, we are with you. Stay together, and all of us will keep winning.
Coach, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you after the Canisius game on Sunday.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
That's the head coach of the Monmouth Hawks, King Rice, victorious tonight over Niagara, Steve, as we'll move along here on our postgame show presented by the Boathouse Bar and Grill, your postgame Hawks basketball headquarters with nightly entertainment and drink specials. We'll look at the stats. You heard me allude to it when we were talking to Coach. Deion Jones and Andrew Nicholas each lead the way with 14. Robinson and Brady go for 13 each, and then 9 points apiece for Tillman, Josh James, and Max DeLeo. Steve, lead a balanced scoring attack as Monmouth shoots 62% for the game. They go 26 of 33 from the foul line and get this win.
Look at the numbers. I mean, 62% from the floor is great. They shoot 5 of 11 from 3, so they only shot 11 threes.
And I think they shot those all in the first half, if I'm not mistaken.
And then you look at Niagara's numbers. They only shoot 36.5% from
the floor, and 6 of 23 from 3 as they really struggle from outside. Points in the paint for Monmouth, 34 to 22. And again, something that we've harped on all broadcast, the play of the bigs was absolutely phenomenal. If you're going to look at one thing that probably Coach Rice wouldn't like, 22 turnovers for the Hawks. Niagara had 20 themselves, so 42 turnovers for the game, and it did get sloppy at the end.
It did. Monmouth did outscore Niagara on the fast break, 14-4, and the Purple Eagles had a 12-5 advantage on the offensive glass, and they turned that into a 16-7 advantage in second chance points. As now, Steve, it's time to award our player of the game, presented by Jersey Mike's Subs. Each game, Jersey Mike's will make a generous donation to the Monmouth University General Scholarship Fund. And tonight's Jersey Mike's player of the game, well, I'm pulling rank, and I'm calling the Jersey Mike's players of the game. And I'm giving it to the Monmouth front line, specifically Zach Tillman and Chris Brady. They're going to share tonight's player of the game award. They were fantastic early, Steve. They were the reason Monmouth built that double-digit lead. Not only were they so good down low, and you heard their numbers. Brady, 13 points, 5 boards. Tillman, 9 points, 4 boards, 3 assists. They opened up so much for the guards, and the way they played tonight, really, I think, is a revelation for how teams can look at this Monmouth team moving forward.
Absolutely, and again, like Coach Rice said, he believes in his bigs, and they are talented guides. Again, Zach Tillman, only a freshman, but he really has a nice game. Chris Brady's huge, and he's got long arms. He can get to that left hand and finish inside. And then Hudiger, 2-2 from the field today. He showed a nice little nifty move in the lane and going to the left hand. So you get those guys scoring points and also providing the rebounding and defense that they do, and Monmouth can really start pulling off and winning a lot of games here.
And Steve, we'll take a look at our upcoming game, which is our next time out, and it's presented by Coach USA, driven with pride. It is Sunday against Canisius, and we're going to take a quick check, Ray, and just bear with me. We're going to get a quick look and check out our MAC out-of-town scoreboard and see how Canisius did, in fact. And right now, they are leading Ryder 89-87 with 20 seconds to go in double overtime. So they've come back to take a late lead. Iona beat Fairfield 84-75, and Siena beat Marist 67-58. No easy task next time out, regardless of the outcome tonight. Canisius has one of the best players in the country in Billy Barron. They're a really good shooting basketball team, and those Sunday afternoon games are so weird to play, will not be easy.
You know, when we talked about the Ryder-Canisius game earlier on in the broadcast, I said it scares me if Ryder goes in there and beats Canisius, because there's no way that Jim Barron wants to lose two in a row. Now I look at it the other way. If Canisius goes there or pulls off here a double overtime come from behind win, which is probably a very emotional, hotly contested game, then they have to play Monmouth, who's supposedly a lower level team, off of a big, huge emotional win. You know, maybe Mama can walk in there and hopefully get a letdown performance from Canisius.
It's interesting how things can change in the matter of a couple of minutes.
Optimism.
You are optimistic tonight, and I like that. I got a good wingman on me tonight. We're going to have, no doubt, a good time as we explore the city of Buffalo. It's a great place to be, and it's going to be a fun time up here. It was fun calling this one. Monmouth 85, Niagara 74. Steve, you'll be with me again on Sunday. Great job tonight, as always, sir. Thank you very much.
Eddie, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. And one final note. Hey, I knew the team would come through and win one when we needed to. Monmouth 85-74 for winning over Niagara. For my broadcast partner, Steve Bazaz, and for Coach Rice joining us post-game. Ray Malaspina back in the studio is engineering tonight's game. Ray, thanks for working overtime and keeping us on in the post-game show. We will get you again on Sunday, 2 o'clock, Monmouth at Canisius. We're on the air at 1:45, and it'll be right here on your home for Hawks basketball all season long, 1160, 1310 a.m., shoresportsnetwork.com, and the free Radio Pup app. I am Eddie Acapinti saying goodnight, and we'll get you on Sunday afternoon. Thanks for listening, everyone.